How's an infection lead to building an awesome business like this? Today's guest, Lisa Cox, has a unique company. It's her. She has a background in advertising and media, and 16 years ago got a buttload of disability, starting with an infection leading to a stroke, followed by a coma for 3 weeks and being in hospital for a year. Once that was sorted out, she was left with a list of disabilities that would bring most people to the end of themselves, but not her. She asked herself, how can I get back to doing what I love? And the answer, advocating for disabled people. With so many people underrepresented in the disabled demographic, the world has an inaccurate view of what it's like, and so the world at large is misinformed. And that's Lisa's mission. Keep this demographic at the forefront and help people see what it's really like on the other side of a disability. She's learned that she's a lot stronger than she thought she could ever be, and you are too. Lisa's attitude is well suited to entrepreneurship, and her outlook on life makes her someone you'll want to get in touch with. When that happens, find her at her website or on Instagram under the same handle, lisacox.co. Keep listening to find the advice she has for entrepreneurs in today's episode. I didn't realize until I looked at the invite that apparently you're working with the Audacious Agency. Like, they were the ones that booked Yeah. How long have you known those two ladies?
I have known Annette. Annette is the one I know best. And I've probably known her for about a year. There's a women's networking business group that I'm a part of. Mm-hmm. And we connected by that way, just first of all, as contacts in that space. And then I found out more about what she did. And I get help with all of the things that she does. So I thought, great. She's local as well. So I have some people over in other parts of the world helping me. And it's mad because 4 a.m. for them is their bedtime. And I'm up at 4 doing interviews and having chats and things. So she was local, which is great.
Nice.
And how did you know her?
Well, I had her on as a podcast guest. Actually, I meant to have both of them on, but I had them both on, and then I lost one of the recordings, and I felt like such a dunce. So whoever I didn't get a chance to get with this last time, I'm going to do it again. So we'll have to pretend we don't know each other. Hey, nice to meet you. But they're awesome. They're two peas in a pod. They work well together. So I'm like, I'm outgunned. Every time I talk with them, I'm like, oh my goodness.
Well, that's a champion.
She is. Well, so what does your company do? What do you do there?
Okay. My company is me. Yeah. Essentially. So I'm a solo entrepreneur, whatever term you want to throw around. A one-person show, and I don't know what Annette briefed you on beforehand, but I'll just bore you with the story anyway. So my background was in advertising and media. I worked in advertising agencies for years, creating advertisements for national, international brands. And then about 16 years ago, I acquired a ton of disabilities. So I can go into detail. I'm not afraid to talk about that. But aside from that, So I got an infection which caused brain hemorrhage, so like a stroke basically. So I was at the airport one morning, had the stroke, don't remember it, went into a coma for 3 weeks, life support for 2 months, and over a year in hospital the first time. So during that first year, my left leg, right toes, and 9 of my fingertips were amputated. I've had heart surgery twice and total hip replacement. So they're all the things you can see, I suppose, but there's lots of invisible disabilities up here in terms of I'm maybe 25% blind now because of the hemorrhage. My voice has its moments. I also have chronic fatigue. So when I speak to Annette, it's usually early in the morning because by 4 p.m. I'm just useless. And there's a few other things, my concentration and memory, just usual brain injury stuff. But after that first year or two in hospital, I started thinking, how can I get back to an industry and work that I love? Because I honestly loved the work I did as a copywriter in advertising agencies. I was creating ads for cars and baby food, and they weren't exciting clients necessarily, but I realized that I could combine my professional skill set with my personal lived experience in disability and essentially apply those same strategies that we use to create awareness about the car or the product or the brand, create visibility for them. I could apply those same principles to disability and things far more important than all my previous clients. Don't tell them I said that. Mm-hmm. So I started working, doing work as an advocate and activist, but not just from a disability is a nice thing to do for all the disabled people and a human rights point of view. Obviously, that's incredibly important, but also looking at it from a business perspective as well, in terms of the added 20% market share that businesses and brands are missing out on because they just aren't getting in there and representing disability in their communications.
Okay. I mean, it's really an often overlooked area. I was just thinking the other day, wasn't too terribly long ago, there was somebody that I met that was, she was a disability advocate as well. And her thing was, people aren't being represented in stock photography. Like, when's the last time you got on like Unsplash or something and been like, there's a person in a wheelchair, you know?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So
a million different little branches to the tree, I suppose, in terms of representation. Stock images are certainly one of them. I've spent lots and lots of time on stock image websites and advertising agencies looking for images, and still do today. Unfortunately, there are very few of people in wheelchairs, and when we do see them, they're stereotypical and misrepresentations. So they're often the pity porn or really sad and depressing images that are designed to evoke pity and things like that. But we never see disabled people driving the kids to school or doing gardening or the laundry or just all of the normal things that we do every single day. So that's absolutely correct that stock images is one area that does need to be addressed along with a ton of others.
Right. Why do you think that is? I mean, if there's not a lot of representation, there's not a lot of visibility into, you know, what disabilities are, why is that? Why aren't people talking about it?
It's in my opinion, it's years and decades of just inbuilt, but the lack of representation isn't something new. It's been going on for decades. And I suppose one way to think about it is that we are, when I say we, the disability community and disability representation is several years and decades behind other minority groups, say representation of people of color and those sorts of things. Of course, there's still a long way to go there, but my mother and father-in-law are very white and very black. And when they used to walk down the street, they got stared at, and there was no one like them in media represented. There was no one of color. But these days there is. It's pretty normal, I suppose. And that's only come through years and years of campaign by activists, but also just education and brands who have the balls to just get in there and do things the right way and have representation, but not in a tokenistic way. Have it regularly as well and be consistent with that representation. Because understandably, brands and businesses are afraid of being tokenistic. And one of the best ways to overcome that is through consistent representation. So not just having one disabled person once a year to tick the diversity box and be done with it, but to have it regularly, every once in the campaign or whatever their ad schedule is.
I agree. Just constantly getting out there and being visible is key to that. You know, with this too, and any other kind of business where, you know, you have to get something in front of the people at large and make sure that they're thinking of this is top of mind. This is reality. This is how things really are. We often have a watered down view of what reality is. So, well, good on you. That is really something.
And if it was just me and one or two other people in Australia or in the world with disabilities, I'd probably go, no biggie.
Yeah.
But 1 in 5 people, approximately 20% of our population, identify as having some sort of disability. That's massive. Like, there's a lot of people out there who just aren't being represented. And it's good not only for disabled and non-disabled people, but it's body smart business as well. Like, as I've said in interviews many times, I can't walk, but I can shop. And I want to shop with the brands and businesses that represent me and my community.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Goodness. Well, I normally ask this question, but I think I kind of know the answer already. I was going to say, what are some of the major challenges you've overcome on the journey? But you listed like 17 of them at the beginning of the conversation, right? So, like what's it been like? You know, because you've got a different skill set, right? You're able, like everybody's got different challenges that they have to deal with, you know, physically, mentally, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah.
And I suppose for a moment, we'll take my health challenges and just park them to the side for a moment, because that was massive and huge. And I had to learn to type again. And I had, with my new fingers, my eyesight, my new brain function. So teaching myself just how to type again was a big one. But we'll park that to the side for just a moment. The biggest challenges I've ever had to overcome more recently have been brands and businesses just not understanding. And I've been told, no, that's not going to work, or no, we can't possibly do that, or more times than I care to imagine. Fortunately, I have a pretty thick skin, not only because I grew up playing a lot of sport and failed miserably numerous times, but I also worked as a writer professionally for many, many years prior to disability. And if any of your listeners are writers as well, you get told no a lot in the advertising agency, especially. Mm-hmm. No, that headline, that campaign, that script, that copy, that text is not for us. So I had a pretty thick skin going into disability and approaching brands and businesses and being told no. And that's probably the biggest challenge I've had to overcome, is saying, well, it's really, really, it's a good idea, it's a smart idea, but finding the right people who can come on board and assist me with these sorts of things. So brand managers, advertising managers, those sorts of people who share a vision like I do for more representation of disability.
Wow. Yeah, when it comes to having a thick skin, I mean, entrepreneurship, like you said, is full of opportunities to get more calloused, right? But you know, when there's the major setbacks that you've had, and to take that, and it sounds like you seem like the type of lady to use that as fuel to drive your success, if I'm reading you right, because you don't seem like you're living with regrets. Yeah,
I can do two things when I'm told no, and that is to sit down and go, fuck it, and feel sorry for myself and give up. Or yeah, I can use that as fuel. And there's a fine line, I suppose, because you do learn that polishing a turd, which is where you just take a really shit idea and try and make it good again and again, sometimes you do have to stop and quit and give up. And that's perfectly okay. Because as you learn in advertising agency, polishing a turd gets you nowhere, just burnt out, basically. So there have been a few ideas that I've just parked on the side and thought, I'll give up completely, or I'll bring that up again in 5 years' time when it's more of a correct time. And that certainly happened to some ideas I had 10 years ago. It's only now that I'm sort of digging them out of my bottom drawer again and going, okay, let's try this again. And it is working this time, unlike last time. So yeah, I am a bit stubborn, I suppose. It has certainly helped that I, like a dog with a bone, and don't give up a lot of the time.
Yeah. Well, you got to be stubborn. I think we often use that term as like a negative, like, oh my goodness, what a stubborn person. But it's like,
oh no, it's a great
it's a great term. I think the term that folks are meaning when they say that is tenacious. You're tenacious, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Stubborn is like negative, you know, but tenacious, yes, you know.
Resilient and tenacious. I don't mean to blow my own trumpet, but I'm very stubborn, but I suppose that's come from life, pre-disability, you know, my experiences, and with disability. I mean, I'm not supposed to be here, basically. I'm not supposed to be here today. My parents got called up my story and said, don't think Lisa will live through the night, fly to Melbourne quickly, and then the life support for 2 months. They were told they might have to turn off my life support. Every day my parents came into the room not knowing if I'd be there or not, alive or not. And so the fact that I can be here today and having an impact on the world that serves more people than just myself is bloody great, if you ask me. And I'm going to make the most of this opportunity that I've been given to do something with life, because it's so freaking precious.
Yes, it is. It is. You know, I think some people would look at this as a curse. Like, why did this happen to me? But going back to what you said earlier, you're using it as a blessing. And very few people are wired that way. A lot of folks would just roll over and quit. And you're like, nope, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm going to use this, like you said, as fuel to impact the lives, not just of yourself, but you're thriving in addition to that. So you're expanding outward and you're finding ways to positively influence people around you. That's awesome. You're a cool lady. I'm glad that you found this podcast. I'm glad that Annette thought highly enough of me to get you to come on here. This is cool stuff.
Thank you very much. Yes. Yeah. I guess I don't want to sugarcoat it and be all Pollyanna and say that from day one I was thriving and optimistic, and there was certainly been plenty of really, really shitty moments.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of tears and all those sorts of things. So don't think for a moment that it's all been sunshine and roses. But again, going back to my example with sport, you playing a lot of sport over the years, you miss a point on the volleyball court, you miss the ball. You can't sit there and just feel sorry for yourself and think, well, it's me. Shit happens. Move on. I've got my coffee cup says, I know your listeners can't see this, but my coffee cup says shit happens. But you've just got to get up and keep going. And I suppose that's the approach I took, because there are certain things I can't change in my life. My leg won't grow back. Neither will my fingertips and everything else. There are so many things in my life that I can't change, but what I can change are things like my attitude to a certain extent and hundreds of other things. So again, that's the approach I took, just to focus on what I could do and I could control. And there's plenty I can't do anymore. Driving and walking are just two of them. But the fact that I've taught myself to type again, I can still do that. I'm bloody grateful for that.
Yeah. That's just, I hope people listening realize, like, the adversity that you face are the pieces of things that make you who you are later in life. Yeah. And going through it, it's like, this really sucks. This is owie, but you're being shaped into something. I mean, practically every form of art or form of manipulating materials, like blacksmithing. Okay, well, you got to heat up the iron, and then you got to pound on it, and then you got to shave off the stuff you don't, that, you know, that's, that hurts. If you're going to refine gold, you have to run it through a furnace to get all the stuff off. That sucks. But you always come out the other side a lot better than you were when you went in. So, wow.
Yeah, mate. Well, I'd like to think I didn't go in this horrible, horrible person and come out a saint or anything like that. in so many ways, I've completely changed physically. I'm in a wheelchair now and have a prosthetic leg and all sorts of things like that. But I'd like to think I'm still relatively the same person with the same sorts of values. Values and morals. My favourite clients in advertising were always the pro bono ones, and often the charities and things like that, where my role was to change public perceptions about a certain cause or whatever it might be, bring awareness, public awareness to a particular issue, they're all the clients I loved, much to my director's disgust, because they were pro bono and they didn't bring us any money. Mm-hmm. But it's really great now being able to do that sort of thing full time and bring awareness to those really important causes and issues.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah, it kind of stinks when people that want to work pro bono, it's like they expect you to work pro bono too. And it's like, no, I work pro no bono. I want money. So
yeah, that's right. It's certainly not all pro bono. There's a problem within the disability sector that people just assume you work for free. Mm-hmm. Which is certainly not the case. Getting back, I mean, I did a ton of volunteer work after university, had my degrees, and just that's what you did. You went in, you interned, or whatever you want to call it, did your work experience. And I took that same approach getting out of hospital, getting back into advertising, which I did for a while, volunteering and those sorts of things. So it's always been a really big part of my life, but it's certainly not the only thing I do now.
Yeah. Well, what have you learned about yourself as a result of everything you've been through combined with your business that you've got?
I've learned that I'm a lot stronger than I think I am, and that applies to all the listeners as well. They're all a lot stronger than I think they are. If you told me 16 years ago that, you know, at this age, in 16 years, you're going to be in a wheelchair, lose all these things, not be able to drive or walk, and boss, you'll meet a great guy, get married, and start a business you love, and I just would have laughed, if not cried, thought, you're full of complete shit. There's no way I'll be able to be happy with that happening. But it turns out you can be. So I'm definitely a lot more resilient and stubborn and stronger than I thought I was. And so are your listeners.
Yeah. That we never realize how strong we are until we're tested. And
it
sure seems like building a business is one of the quickest ways to test yourself. Having a stroke as it may seem, you know, but you got both, right? So you came out. It's really awesome.
Oh, yeah. Building a business is bloody hard work. I have some really great friends who are also entrepreneurs. And I suppose when we overlap starting a business as either a woman or a disabled woman or some sort of minority, it adds that extra element of difficulty to the whole situation. So starting a business would have been hard for me to begin with, but starting a business in a male-dominated industry, tick one for being a bit harder, but then starting business again in a male-dominated industry where you did not, sorry, that's my dog barking in the background, a woman with disability, that's bloody hard. So there are certain things that overlay with the already difficult task of starting a business.
Yep. Sometimes when we're piled on with all these different challenges, we just have to push through, and then it makes us just a lot tougher. I cannot believe how far you've come to where you are now. And it's just, you're probably one of the few people on the planet that could have gotten where you are. There's just something different about you. You're wired different, but it's awesome. It's cool. It's just, it's admirable, you know? You're an awesome lady.
A little bit different. Thanks very much. I'm just me. That's the thing. And I suppose I'm not religious, but I'm here for some greater purpose. There's a reason that so many amazing healthcare professionals get to be alive. Mm-hmm. my life support wasn't turned off. And if I can do just a little bit, I'm certainly not the only one advocating for disability rights, but if I can do just a little bit, then that's awesome. I feel like I owe it to all the medical professionals and my family for the hell I put them through to actually do something now that I'm back here.
Yeah. Well, sounds like you're going places. You're already on your path, and that's excellent.
I can be on my path, but I need all of the brand managers and executives and directors and all the people around the board table who make the decisions about representation to be on the path with me. So that's what I'm working on at the moment, and I'm really fortunate that some brands are starting to listen. I've had some pretty cool opportunities in the last year or so. Mm-hmm. It was a shit show with COVID, but apart from that, there have been some pretty cool developments which 5 years ago would never have happened, let alone 10 years ago when I started talking about this. So it's exciting to see those tiny little changes. They are really small, but it's better than nothing. And hopefully in years to come, there's more and more and more, and it starts snowballing.
There will be. And I think people are more receptive to that kind of thing right now, because we're in an era now where it's like people are just building relationships and they're understanding each other better. I mean, unless you're talking politics, then it's like rah rah. But I mean, if it's anything else, any other subject, right? Other than that, right?
I've been watching the US elections over here. I'm more interested in that than I am about our own.
Yeah.
Our own pastor and politics.
It's wild here too. I was just talking to somebody the other day today from South Africa, and he's like, "Dude, are you okay?" And I'm like, "I just got to put my phone down, man. It's just a fire hose of rah rah, you know." But yeah, I mean, people are building relationships, and they're understanding better the plight of the disabled people. But you seem to be the type of person where, if they're not walking the path with you already, you're going to drag them along, whether they want to or not.
there are some who I will drag with me, but there are plenty of others who it becomes clear that they really have no interest. And I have limited capacity and limited energy. So like polishing the turd, you know when to give up and drop it. And there are certain times when I'm like, well, you can find your own way. I'll focus on the people who are showing interest and do want to create change, because I don't have a team of 200 working behind me.
Yeah.
It's just me and a couple of others, I suppose, who do help from time to time. But yeah, I'm focusing on those who are on par with me.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. Well, I've got one final question for you, and then we'll find out how people can reach out to you, you know, when they hear this and they're like, I'm going to get with Lisa and find out what's going on. So do you have any advice for people that are already on their business journey? They're building a business. Maybe they're just starting out. Maybe they've been doing it for a while. Like, what awesome piece of advice could you just pass on to people?
Surround yourself with the right sort of people. I know early on in my business journey, I didn't have a lot of friends in the entrepreneurial space, and apart from, you know, advertising mates, in that business world. And so I'd speak to them about what I was doing and all those sorts of things and get the glazed eyes. And I could just tell there was zero interest. But I've since connected with some amazing people who do get it, who do understand both the good and the bad. So I can talk to them about the struggles of whatever it may be, but also celebrate the wins with them. And as if businesswomen or business people, they get it. So surrounding myself with that core group of people who are on the same journey with me, not necessarily about disability representation, but starting your own business and starting your own thing, whatever that thing may be, That's been really key for me to have other people to either bounce ideas off or just vent to have a bitch.
Cool. Yeah, I wish I'd heard that lesson 5 years ago. You know, I started trying to think I was going to do it all myself, but once I started bringing people in, they're smarter than me in areas that I suck at. Some great things happen.
Such a key bit of advice that I'll double on from what I said before. Second bit of advice is, definitely bring people in who know about stuff that you don't know anything about. So I can create content all I want, but neither of my degrees were in finance or economics. So I bring in people to help with those sorts of things. And understanding your weaknesses, being able to be honest about your weaknesses and say, you know what, I really am shit at this, and not trying to just go hard and do everything yourself, because being honest about your failures as well, knowing what you're not good at.
Very true. And I think at the end of the day, it's still just data. You know, it doesn't mean that you know, if you're bad at this particular thing, it doesn't mean you suck as a person. It just means, hey, you're wired up different than most, and you can play to your strengths, and it's okay. And you don't have to be awesome at every single thing. You don't have to be a well-rounded individual. Just
exactly right.
And focus on your strengths.
Perfectly okay to suck at things, I suppose. Even in the entrepreneurial space, my Instagram feed, I see all the time, you're the best, you're amazing, you can do anything, which is all, you know, lovely, but sometimes it's okay to just suck at something and to put your hand up and go, you know, that's really not my strength. I've failed miserably at that, or whatever the case may be. Having a I know I can do anything mindset is good, but to be taken with a grain of salt, I think. But yes, you can to a certain extent, but do recognize when you do suck a bit, and that's okay.
Man. This is good stuff. I hope we can keep in touch. I think I've got a lot to learn from you, Lisa.
Oh.
Awesome. Well, I will go ahead and finish up the podcast. And for the listeners that are hearing this, like if they're wondering, how can I get in touch with Lisa? Like, what's the best way for them to contact you? Do you have a website or a...
I do. I have, I'm on a ton of platforms, but the best way is my website or Instagram. They're both the same. LisaCox.co, LisaCox.co. And I do spend most of my time on that platform, and my website's got a contact page. But if there are brands and businesses who perhaps want a bit of guidance or handholding on how to be inclusive and diverse, they want to be but just don't know how, then that's really what I'm doing at the moment, whether it's in advertising or in-house branding and marketing and those sorts of things. With that lived experience, not only through disability, but also that lived experience with years in the marketing, advertising, media world, it's a nice little combination where I can help brands and businesses to get it right so they don't get canceled on Twitter or something like that.
I love it. It's not easy to get canceled on Twitter. I mean, you got to do something for like 4 years straight to get kicked off that platform. So
maybe not. I've seen a few examples of just one or two wrongs in the disability sector. I know Sia did something recently at Singer, and my memory, I think she had a non-disabled person playing a disabled person or something along those lines. I've probably just messed that up, but the call outs and the blah blah blah, and I've seen it happen other times with different minorities, fashion labels for example, who incorrectly use people of color in a wrong kind of way, put a young kid with dark skin in a shirt that had a monkey on it, and just small things like that I personally couldn't have necessarily noticed that one, but having a consultant in the room with that lived experience, who can really, really easily just see things from going, no, don't do that, don't do that, or let's do it this way instead. So that's been a big part of my business, is not just looking at all the problems and pointing things out and calling things out, going, you're fucked, doing this wrong, and stop buying, but also to say, let's look at the solutions, let's look at how we can do this better, and get it right.
Nice. And, you know, going back to what we said at the very beginning, it's like this is an often overlooked area, but yeah. Sounds like you've got a good handle on making sure people are aware of the optics. So that's cool. I hope this gets some attention to you. Yeah. Well, awesome. Yeah. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you, and I will let you get back to the rest of your morning, afternoon, evening. What time is it there? Is it morning for you there?
Right, early in the morning. I was at the gym earlier, and I've never seen it so busy. We went to a 3-day lockdown here in Brisbane. Only 3 days, but everyone lost their shit. So everyone, I'll go to the gym early. No one will be there at 4:40. I was so wrong. Half of Brisbane was in my gym this morning.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I heard there was like one case. They were like, shut down everything. And I'm like, good Lord, guys, just y'all are 10 miles apart from each other. Just do your thing, you know, go out in the middle of the outback and just chill for a bit. So
pretty much. Doing a workout in a mask was a new experience, but hey,
yeah.
What you gonna do?
Oh my goodness. Well, I will let you get back to the rest of your day and the rest of your week. And I'm going to message Miss Annette and say, hey, thanks for getting Lisa in touch with me, because this was an awesome podcast. All right.
Cool. Thank you very much. Really great speaking with you.
Same here. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast. Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on, and also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.